Good morning. I invite you to turn once again in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. This morning we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 12. And I want you to know that I take this with a great deal of weight because I recognize that some of my students will be watching me today. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Remember, we've been talking that we are pilgrims on our way to Zion, pilgrims in the midst of pagans. And to those pilgrims, the Lord says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. Let's pray together. Open our eyes, O Lord, that we might behold wonderful things in this, your law. And may it be, O Father, that we leave this place of greater spirit than when we first came. For we ask it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Sometimes it's hard to keep going. And the only thing that keeps you going is recognizing how blessed you are in the going. I believe you homeschool moms know this the best. There are days when you think that if your hair doesn't fall out, you're going to rip it out. There are days that for even the most exuberant homeschooler, most enthusiastic, where you get frustrated beyond all belief and you want to quit. Your kids are in tears. You're in tears. The dishes are piling up like a skyscraper in the sink. Your house looks like you have a 3-year-old for an interior decorator. You are just so maddened in yourself that you just want to throw it all down and say, better just stick them in a school and be done with it. But then, maybe after you get out of the house, you begin to think about how blessed you are. You and put them in a school, you wouldn't have the opportunity to sit on the couch and bond with those little boogers. You wouldn't have them to where they are in their spiritual life, because you know that you haven't just been teaching math and language arts, you've been working with them on their diligence, lying, and integrity. These math problems were just a means to achieve that goal. You also recognize that you wouldn't be at the place where you are spiritually if you had done that. Through all these ups and downs, through all the tears and through all the laughs, you've blossomed in your trust in the Lord. You've come to rely on Him for His strength and for His grace in a way that you would not have if these little boogers weren't in your house. Sometimes it's hard to keep going, and the only thing that keeps you going is recognizing how blessed you are in the going. I'm sure all of us recognize that truth if it comes to our exercise program or our daily devotions with the Lord. You know, it's kind of hard to keep going on that when someone's waving a piece of chocolate cake in front of your face, or you're being tempted to to cut out your prayer time because you're a little sleepy. You waver and you perhaps give up. And the only thing that brings you back is recognizing how you've been blessed in maintaining that daily regimen. This is true, you know, the principle. When the going gets rough, the tough peter out. Tough crowd this morning, I tell you. The tough typically peter out until they recognize what God has been doing in your life. The blessings that have accumulated to your account are typically the fuel that keeps you going, pressing on, persevering. The same is true when it comes to our life as a Christian. You know, it's not easy being a Christian. As Mark talked about last week, there are trials galore, particularly for us Christians. When it seems like the masses of humanity are flowing in one direction, oftentimes we feel, you know, just it would be better to give up and go along with them. We can get sick of being so meticulous in our morality. Everybody keeps saying, why are you so picky about yourself? Why are you such a stickler in these areas? You see all the world out there going along about their jolly way, doing whatever they want, whenever they please, and just having a grand old time. You think, why is it that I am fighting so hard against temptation? What is the big deal? Why do I keep going? Then you feel like you're just a little too Puritan. And other people treat you like it too. Well, add to that all the other pressures that accompany the faith, and sometimes you can just feel that you're to the point where you just want to give up. And if that's your case, I want you to take heed to what the Apostle Peter says by the inspiration of the Spirit in this passage. Because in this passage, the Holy Spirit reminds us how blessed we are as Christians. He encourages us to press on in our pilgrimage of faith by reminding us of our salvation, particularly and how this salvation was predicted for us, how it was preached to us, and how it is possessed by us. Verse 10, he starts off by saying, concerning this salvation, he wants you to focus in on it. Focus on how blessed you are because of this salvation. In the very reason, because it was predicted for you. And I want you to take that application very seriously. Take note of that. It wasn't just predicted. It was predicted for you. Verse 10, it says, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. Think for a moment of how weighty that is. Here are men who the supernatural power of God comes upon them in such a magnificent way that it opens their mouths so that they utter grand mysteries. Things that only the Spirit of God could inspire. And these things that he prophesies are some of the most excellent, most glorious concepts that could ever be uttered by men. Spoke about the person and work of Jesus Christ and how he would become the Savior of men. And while they were doing that, after they were done saying those things or perhaps writing it down, you could just see them sitting back in awe. Perhaps just looking over the manuscript and running their fingers through their hair with their eyes open in disbelief. Wow, these are such profound thoughts. But despite the great blessing of having spoken such grand things, my friends, they were still that. mysteries. They didn't comprehend it all. They were still left in the dark to some great degree. They searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit was indicating, but alas, the whole knowledge was not to be theirs. That's why it says that they were serving not themselves, but you. I want you, my friends, to recognize that you who are here today are the beneficiaries of their redemption, or their revelation. You have the opportunity to grasp concepts that were still very elusive to them. You have had the full revelation of Jesus Christ given unto you so that you can comprehend the wonders of what it means to be saved from sin through the person and work of Jesus Christ. They saw maybe some Messiah was supposed to come, something grand was to happen in the future. But you have the 2020 vision of the gospel. And you get to look through the lenses of the New Testament to see all that God was really doing to fulfill their prophecies. My friends, you are blessed far above the saints of old. Earlier this year, CBS News did a story on a man by the name of John Bramblett. He was a man who's known to be quite an accomplished artist. His works are just wonderful to behold. Much of his work is dedicated to painting portraits, pictures of people who come into his studio. And his work is defined by the brilliant and bold use of color. Such brilliance that it oftentimes evokes emotion automatically. It elicits in you the brilliance, elicits some feelings of awe, as if you're gazing on a rainbow itself. When you view his work, you can't help but confess that his paintings and portraits are unbelievable masterpieces. What really makes them even more the masterpiece is when you realize that Mr. Bramblett is completely blind. Due to an epileptic seizure in his youth, it left him only able to see one shade of color, and that's pitch black. And so this man has learned to, with the use of his hands, feel the different oils in the paint, to feel the texture so that he can mix them to just the right way that he wants it. He's learned to use his finger to trace the outline of the portrait and follow it along with the brush, making each stroke in such a way that he's feeling the canvas and following it with the perfect line of the stroke. And he takes the picture using his hands to feel the contours of someone's face. That's a sham. No way. It's true. He has become a masterful artist. So great are his portraits that he travels around the country displaying his works in galleries for all to see. And yet the most ironic thing is that he's never seen one of them. Friends, it's just like that artist who created such marvelous works, or the prophets who long ago expressed some of the most profound realities with their lips. And those prophets didn't have the opportunity to enjoy the fullness of their predictions, just like that artist doesn't have the opportunity to enjoy the fullness of the color of his portraits. And yet, all of us who are in the gallery of the congregation get to witness the brilliance of Jesus Christ in a way that those whose eyes are dim to the fact never did. You are blessed above any saint throughout history because you have been made to lay your eyes upon the brilliance of the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving work. If those prophets of old could speak to those of us who are here today, they would say that they would envy at you. They would be green with envy because they longed to see what you get to see in Jesus. You know, I hear people from time to time say, wouldn't it be great to be back in Isaiah's day and hear the things that he said as he said them? Well, the answer to that is no. No. Because you didn't get the full picture. The truth is, it's completely opposite. He longed to sit where you are, to fill your shoes so that he might see the glories of what Jesus accomplished in his death and resurrection. I want you to consider yourself blessed because you have received the full revelation of the saving work of Jesus Christ. And all those prophets did, all that they uttered, was for you to enjoy, because they were serving you and not themselves. You are blessed. You should be encouraged to press on in the faith because they predicted it for you. Also, when it comes to the salvation, I want you to understand that it was proclaimed to you. That also sets you apart and distinct from many others in this world. Peter says in verse 12, continuing on where we left off, that these things have been announced to you through the Holy... is announced to you... Very small print. They've been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It was preached to you, not just proclaimed to you. And you're blessed because of the things that you've heard. Not just the prophecies long ago, but the things that you are hearing even this day. You have heard about the good news of the gospel. The truth that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, took on human form. That he was pierced for our transgressions. That he rose as a victor over the grave to conquer sin, death, and the devil. You've had the opportunity to hear someone preach those things to you. And you're blessed because of that. Think how great a blessing that is. Of all the people in this world, who even today, 2,000 years after Jesus Christ lived, all the people who have still never even heard the name Jesus, let alone have the whole gospel presented to them, the opportunity to receive him by faith. You have probably had it preached to you many times. And I hope you understand that you are privileged because the Spirit of God has been sent on a mission straight from heaven to speak to you, to intercept you at some point in your life, that a minister might communicate to you. You don't have to go to hell. There is one who has taken the wrath of God on your behalf so that you might be escorted into the glories of heaven. In my younger days, I played football, and my senior year of high school, we got a new coach. And one of the new things that this coach implemented was at the end of every game, after every practice, the whole team would gather together, taking a knee, and recite the Lord's Prayer. We did it every game. You know, it kind of got to be routine. One day, we're walking back to the locker room with our helmets and our shoulder pads in our hands, yucking it up as teenagers are prone to do. And one of my friends turns to me and says, "What was that all about?" What was what all about? The whole thing we did back there on the knee, the prayer thing. It was like static coming. I didn't get it. Eventually it came out that he'd never heard of Jesus before. Never even heard of the Lord's Prayer, one of the most basic, fundamental principles of Christianity. Explained to him, well, it's a story that it's a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. I'm sure I was fumbling all through it because I was like, what in the world? What planet are you from? Here we are in conservative Ashland, and you never heard the Lord's Prayer? And then he said to me, "Who's Jesus? Who's Jesus?" So there, my heart was breaking for this young man. Maybe the most that he knew about Jesus is that he had something to do with some ox and sheep lowing in a manger somewhere long ago and far away. never had the gospel presented to him, never had an opportunity presented to him where he was invited to partake of Jesus Christ by faith. Made me think how blessed I was. Several years before, a man had stood up and spoken, invited people to turn to Jesus Christ away from their sins. And I'd had many people present the gospel since. Holy Spirit intercepted me to tell me of the great blessings of God's mercy and grace in Christ. And you, my friends, you've had the exact same blessing. Some of you sitting out there can remember with vivid detail what it was like when you first heard the gospel. When it was first explained to you and you were told that you were a sinner in need of grace and it was coming straight from you, the arms were opened wide. You can still remember what the elation you felt as the power of God came over you and washed away your sins. You might not recognize the day or particular place. That's an even greater testimony. Because you've had the gospel explained to you so many times that it's almost rote to you. It's almost, it's the gospel. There are people out there who've never had it even once. Just think a little how privileged you are. In comparison to the millions of people who are sitting in hell, who at every moment long to be in these pews today, being where you are, having the opportunity to hear the gospel presented so that they might not be in the eternal conscious torment that they are today. How envious they are of you that they could just yearn and wish to come back and say, yes, I would repent of my sins. I would gladly receive Jesus, as they cry out in agony. So blessed. So very blessed. We should pause here and say, perhaps you're here today. You are one of those who have never heard of Jesus Christ. Never considered how your sins could be forgiven and you could be made right with God. Maybe, most likely, you've been sitting here so many times that you've never really even considered the fact that you've personally needed a Savior. You've heard people talk about it, but you've never come to say, you know what? I have never gotten right with God myself. I want you to know that this is your day. Because the Holy Spirit has been sent here and has caused me to announce to you this salvation and that it can be yours. And that you can only receive it by means of Jesus Christ and faith in Him. If you are sitting there today and you are stuck in your sins and do not want to be one of those who are in hell crying out with envy to those who are here today, I want you to know the only thing that you need to do is receive Jesus Christ with your faith. Rest upon Him and what He has done on the Calvary, being pierced and enduring the wrath of God. If you do that, then you will have eternal life. And you will join those of us who are here today who have already done that and experienced the great blessing of having the gospel preached to you. My friends, that really brings us to the greatest blessing that Peter talks about. You know, it's great to have this salvation predicted for us. It's wonderful to have it preached to us, but the greatest blessing of all is possessing it. And that's what Peter talks about in the last phrase of verse 12. It's one of those lines that fills you with wonders. It's one of those lines that you look at and think, is that really true? That this is something that angels even long to look into? I like the language there. The language is deep investigation. The language of getting a closer look, stooping down so that you might examine more intently. You know, when you're standing up and you spy something on the floor, you can't quite make it out. So you go over and you crouch down. Perhaps you get down on your hands and knees and to pick it up so that you can really, really look at it. One of my relatives' house, when they were remodeling, in their doorway, the entranceway, on the tile, they had painted a key. So that whenever someone comes in, they see it down on the floor, automatic response is to get down and say, oh, you dropped your key, you don't want to lose that. And then you start pinching at it, and you're like, it's not real, is it? It's kind of a joke, everyone laughs at you. You're kind of embarrassed at the same time. Yeah, well, we have. But then you're so enthralled with it that you want to you get down even closer. You want to say, how do the artists do that? Make such detail that it looks 3D and actually looks like a key that you need to pick up. And you're examining it so closely. And that's the idea being communicated in this passage where the angels long to look into these. They want to look with such intentness, such detail to figure out what it's all about. And what Peter's communicating is that you have one up on the angels. The angels can only look at it, but you possess it. You might even be so bold to say it's the angels gawk at you, looking with wide-eyed wonder. Wow. Elizabeth and I were in St. Louis. We would travel the beltway around the St. Louis city quite a bit to get to work or whatever. And when we traveled that, sometimes there would be a huge traffic jam. Whenever that happened, we would flip on the radio to see how we could get around it. And the radio announcer would say, 270 is backed up from here to there for a gaper's delay. We always thought that was weird. What in the world is a gaper's delay? So we finally, you know, inch along so we get to the point where we see there's a huge wreck on the other side of the 8-lane highway. But our 4 lanes, 4 or 5 lanes, doesn't have anything wrong with it. And after we pass the wreck, you know, things would speed up. We'd get back to where we're going and on the way again. We're always wondering, why in the world was it backed up so far on our side when the wreck was on the other side? Until my wife one day said, ah, I got it. It's a gaper's delay. You're going along, you see the wreck on the other side, you slow way down, and you gape. You don't want to just fly by, you want to see all the gory details. Wow, look at that fender! You know, that's how it is in heaven sometimes. Angels flying all around, bustling, doing their business, whatever angels do. Sometimes it all just comes to a screeching halt as they stop and they look upon you. Wonder at your salvation. Look at them. They wish that they had the intimate experiential knowledge that you possess. They look at it and say, wow, whatever's going on there, it's amazing. Friends, you have something that they can never have. They can only be like a neighbor who peers over the fence looking at you with the jealousy of what you have in your backyard. So if you ever are thinking, what's up with this Christianity thing? There's not really anything to it. Just remember that you have a distinct advantage over the angels, some of the most glorious beings that God has ever created. They too look at you with envy, longing to have what you possess. You can easily imagine a couple who's been having some hard times in their marriage. Maybe finances are not quite where they ought to be. They're not communicating well either. They're just going through some rocky time in their relationship. And overall, things are pretty tense. Perhaps even to the point where they're wondering, is this relationship going to last? Is this marriage going to fall apart? Imagine that lady being out one day with some friends, perhaps sitting at a restaurant around a table. You know, they're sharing a meal, talking all sorts of things, as ladies tend to do, you know, topic here, topic there. Mainly talking about relationships. Then conversation turns to the point where it's kind of focused on this girl, this lady. She's having a friend say to her, "You know what? I kind of admire you. It's obvious that you have a man who loves you." You see the eyes brighten up. "What do you mean?" "Well, he talks with you. All my husband does is watch television, play video games." And the other friend says, "Yeah, and he does work around the house. How do you get him to do that?" The other woman, third friend, just sits there quietly. When she does open her mouth, it's only to complain about her ex. She doesn't pay any money to help her or the family. As this woman sits there, they begin to ask her for advice on relationships. She's wondering to herself, "You know, I'm not quite the one who should be giving advice here." But she's starting to realize, despite all the turbulence, despite all the trials, she understands that there is true love and that there's a reason to persevere in this relationship. Now, friends, I hope that's true of you here today. That's what Peter is telling you. You might think that things are a bit tense because you have chosen to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be facing some turbulence and all kinds of trials because you've chosen to do so and you're tempted to give up on Him. But if that is the case, remember how blessed you are in comparison. There are so many, just like those friends would be envious of that woman, there are so many who are envious of you. The prophets, they're so envious, wishing that they could have the glimpse of the glory of Christ as you do. Souls in hell are envious to the point of perhaps resentment of you. The angels, they can only stare with jealous curiosity at what you have. Friends, may that be the encouragement to you to press on in the faith, to make your pilgrimage not only pick up speed, but with perseverance and a mindset that you will hold tenaciously to Jesus Christ because of all the blessings He has bestowed upon you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for placing us in the point of history that we are today. We thank You for placing upon us the abundant riches that are more supreme than what many of our counterparts out there in the world might have. And Father, though we go through hard times, we pray that You would always dangle before us the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make it our hearts yearn for Him. And may our feet never slack in this pilgrimage, for we ask it in His strong name. Amen.